hear these words from Proverbs. Pay close attention, my child, to your father's wise words, and never forget your mother's instructions, for their insight will bring you success, adorning you with grace-filled thoughts and giving you reins to guide your decisions. And from Ephesians, children, if you want to be wise, listen to your parents and do what they tell you, and the Lord will help you. For the Ten Commandments say, honor your father and your mother, was the first of the Ten Commandments with a promise attached. And that promise is, you will prosper and live long, a long, full life, if you honor your parents. Mother's Day. What a wonderful time to honor the women who have influenced our lives in so many ways over the years. Today, we think not only of our own mothers, but also aunts, cousins, grandmothers, friends, co-workers, teachers, and women throughout history who have modeled nurturing, caring, and strong spirits. These people helped us to become the people that we are today. For the women who have taught us about Jesus, how to live lives based on Jesus' teaching, and how to love one another the way God intended. For all these women, we give thanks. Now, our teaching scriptures today talk about honoring fathers and mothers, and what does it mean to honor? I read an article by Focus on the Family recently about this very question. To honor means to regard with great respect and high esteem. It also describes honor as something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure. It is a privilege. In other words, to honor a parent means to respect them, to accept their authority, to obey them, and to appreciate them. I will explain these four characteristics in further detail in a moment. But first and foremost, God has commanded us to honor our parents. In the Ten Commandments, in the first commandment that came with a promise, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And secondly, God is invested in relationships. He desired a relationship with each of us, so to illustrate the structure of a relationship, he created a family. The way we show respect to our parents says a lot about how we show respect to God. So back to those four characteristics of honor: respect, accept, obey, and appreciate. Respect. It's the gratitude towards those who gave us life and nurtured us with love. The commandment, D.L. Moody said, is not just applicable to minor children, but teaches us as adult children that we are to have respect and to care for our aging parents. Acceptance of their authority. It's natural for us to question why. Just spend 10 minutes with a 2-year-old. And that's all you're going to hear over and over again. Why? 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 And it's also natural for us to test our boundaries. But as we grow older, we realize that those boundaries we tested were set in place by our mothers to protect us and to guide us in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children onto the path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Obedience. The biblical principles of obedience are countercultural to much of our American culture today. We tend to teach autonomy and individualism, where independent and being self-reliant is of great importance. However, the Bible teaches us differently. We are to submit to authority and follow the wisdom of those who have gone on before us. If we try to go this life on our own, we run into struggles along the way. As I said earlier, God created us to be in relationship with others. A certain degree of independence is necessary, but we must always be dependent upon God. God is our ultimate authority and wisdom. Appreciation. What are some of the ways we can honor and show appreciation for what our mothers and our fathers have done for us? Tell them that you love them. Don't just assume that they know that. It's important to say it. Listen to their stories. A lot of wisdom, laughter, and vulnerability can be gleaned from their experiences. I can't tell you how many times I heard the story over and over again about my dad's Uncle Irv, who took his mule to the gas station, lifted up the tail and said, "Fill her up." I heard that story so many times, but the joy on my dad's face as he told that story, it was worth listening to time and time again. Share your stories with them. Now, my mom thoroughly enjoys seeing pictures and hearing about the adventures of her great-grandchildren. The visits mean a lot. Why? Because it says that they cared enough to take their time to come and see and be with her. Share your stories. Ask them for their opinion. Now, that can be a tricky one. I don't always want to hear the opinion, and sometimes I don't even have to ask. It's just given. That's too much of the time. But there may be some truth and wisdom embedded in those opinions. Take it for what it's worth, because it might just make it easier for you to walk in their footsteps along the path that they've already walked. Speak well of your parents. None of us like to be put down. The old saying goes, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. That holds a lot of wisdom and truth. Build others up. Holding them up to God will do far more than if we tear them down. Compliment your parents. Say thank you. Those two words can be the biggest compliment a parent can ever hear. It means we have listened and we have appreciated all that you've done and you have said to us. Put out there their strengths and their good qualities. We all have unbecoming flaws. We know it. I know it. I'm sure you know it too. And boy, I can point out my mother's flaws in a heartbeat. But isn't it nicer to hear about the goodness rather than the shortcomings? The rule is, it takes 10 positive compliments to negate one negative comment. Think about that. How many times do our negative comments keep coming to mind? Things that have been said to us. Now, I know some of your parents are no longer living, But I am a firm believer that God will hear you, will let them hear the words that are spoken in love. You can still say to your parents, I love you. Thank you. Give them a compliment and tell them how much they've meant to you. So, lessons I've learned from my mother and the Bible. We've talked about respect, acceptance of authority, obedience, and appreciation. But there are a few more areas I want to touch on. They are practice, study, don't fight, and love each other. Practice. I took piano lessons as a child, and when it came to practicing, I did whatever I could to get out of it. As an adult, I regret that. I regret my lack of discipline. Any others of you out there that tried an instrument and didn't practice and didn't do well, and now you regret it? I see heads nodding. I would love to play like Pamela and Robin. They worked very hard, and they continue to work hard at their playing by practicing. The same is true of our prayer practice. Some days it is hard to find time to sit down and spend with the Lord, but it is extremely necessary. Time with God helps each of us to find strength in keeping going another day, to get guidance for decisions, to just rest in the presence of the one who created us. It takes practice, and it's never too late to start. Study. I'm sure all of us enjoyed studying while in school, right? I know there are those of you who just couldn't wait to get home and get to doing your homework right away, crack those books, and learn more. I'm also sure there are those of you like me who couldn't wait to get home, to get out and play and have fun and do anything else other than schoolwork. But today, I'm sure that we are all extremely thankful for taking the time to learn. Reading, writing, math, history, social studies, music, art, home economics, which unfortunately I don't think they teach in schools much anymore. All of these classes were important in making us who we are today. The same is true of studying the Bible. It is essential that we open the Bible to read it and study what Jesus has taught us so that we can live the life that God intended us to live. We come together on Sunday morning and we hear the word and we worship together in community, which is important. But daily seeking God's word is essential. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors or those who sinned against us. If I were to walk through this journey of life not reading the Bible, getting the daily bread that I need, I would find it extremely difficult to forgive others and to forgive myself. I wouldn't see how I have wronged other people and caused them heartache and pain. Study the scriptures. It's a gift given to each of us. Don't fight. I grew up in a house with three older brothers. There was definitely fighting, and I often heard the words come from my mother's mouth, "Stop fighting!" Any of you ever hear that? I have to share this story of one particular time. Pastor Floyd Mitchell, who was a pastor here at our church back in the 70s, came to our house for a visit. He and my mom were in the living room, and two of my brothers walked in, fighting and yelling and screaming. My mother excused herself and went out to where they were, tried to quiet them down, and one of them said, "He's trying to kill me and you don't care." And I'm sure, knowing my brothers, there were some explicit, unkind, and not so good words that were shared at that time. My mom, they were colorful, yes, they were colorful. My mom was horrified. But she walked back into that living room, and before she could say a word, Pastor Mitchell said, "You don't have to explain, I have boys of my own." Does this sound like a familiar scene for you? Did your mothers ever utter the words, "Stop your fighting"? So why do we do it? Why do we fight? Probably because things aren't going our way and we want to make it known and change it. Can we have things our way all the time? Can we have things our way all the time? No. Would it be good if we got our way all the time? No. What is the saying that we often say when someone, that person, gets their way all the time? What do we call them? A spoiled brat, absolutely. When we don't get what we want, there is always a lesson in there for us, always. It can be a lesson of patience. You're not going to get your way right now. Or a lesson of thinking differently, opening ourselves up to new ways of thinking and new ideas. It requires us to change. But no matter what the lesson is, it's important for us not to fight. Jesus doesn't want us fighting in the church either. It breaks my heart what is happening in our denomination right now. We had 44 churches in our district alone. It's now down to 27. The churches have pulled out because they did not agree. And rather than working together and understanding that we don't always agree, it's easier to pull out. We're not going to agree on everything. It's just not going to happen. Why? Because God made each of us unique. We have our own thoughts and opinions, but the important thing is that we remain unified in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Unified does not mean we agree on everything, but we are of one mind that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that what we want is that we need to further God's kingdom here on earth. If we have a disagreement, which it is inevitable, Jesus tells us what to do in Matthew 18. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. I'm not saying, and the scripture is not saying, that you go to them, "Well, you know, you really, you don't do this right and you don't do that right." That's not what it's saying here. If someone has, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, if someone sins against you, go talk to them. Okay, go talk to them is what this is saying. Go talk to them. But if they don't listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as if they were a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if you two, if two of you on earth agree about anything, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be also. The verse in there that says about treat them as if they were a pagan and a tax collector. There's a story about Jesus that Jesus tells about two men go into the temple to pray. One is a devout religious person. The other one is a tax collector. And the tax collector, or the devout religious person says, "Huh, look at that guy over there. He's got a lot to be sorry for, but I come to church every Sunday. I give my 10%. I do this, I do that. I follow all the laws of Moses." What's the tax collector doing? He's over there, "Lord, forgive me, for I know I have sinned and fallen short." Who did Jesus say was the one that was forgiven? The tax collector. We are not here to point out every fault. God knows we have disagreements, and it's part of our human journey, but God doesn't want us to stay there. We're to work together, work things out. Now, I'm going to say some things that are maybe difficult to hear, but I believe it's necessary to say. It breaks God's heart when he hears people tearing each other down in the church. It's easy for us to jump on the bandwagon and criticize others. I know, I've been there, I've done that. I was wrong. Instead, Jesus tells us, do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Brothers and sisters, let us take to heart Jesus's words. Let us seek forgiveness from God for our sins, and let us love one another. Love each other. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the foundation of Jesus's message. We loved because God first loved us. To honor is to love. And love means to respect, to accept authority, to obey our parents and appreciate others. It means to have a practice of prayer, spending time with God in the Word each day, to refrain from fighting, and to love unconditionally. Now, I want to end by reading a poem that you may have heard before, but I think it fits nicely with today's topic of honoring. It's called "All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten" by Robert Fulghum. All I need to know: share everything, play fair, don't hit people, put things back where you find them, Phil Thorpe. I'm sorry, that's really not in the poem, but it really was apropos there. clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some, think some, draw, paint, sing, dance, play, and work. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out in the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. Beware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up, and nobody knows how or why. Goldfish, hamsters, white mice, and even the seed in the little styrofoam cup, they all die, and so do we. And still, it is true, no matter how old you are, when you go out in the world, it is better to hold hands and stick together. Some very good advice in that little poem. Good little tidbits to remember. We are all children. We're still children. We'll always be children of God. Let us live what we have learned, because all that I need to know, all that we need to know, we learned from the Bible and with the help of our mothers and others along the way. Amen.